Numbers chapter 11, if you'll find that fourth book in your Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers in chapter 11. We're going to read three verses out of that text today and bring a message that I hope the Lord will bless and speak to your heart with this morning. God bless you for being here, especially those of you first-time guests. We're certainly glad to have you with us today. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book, and then after we pray, we read and pray, we'll have a special and jump right into our message. We're reading verses 21 through 23, and if you'd join me on verse 22, I would appreciate it. I'll read the other two verses for us. The Bible says, "And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not." Let's pray. Thank you, dear Father, for this passage. I pray that you'll help us now to see the truths from it that we need to see this morning, for these days, for this moment, for this occasion. And I pray, God, that you'll please give us your liberty that only the Holy Spirit can bring to a service. Thank you so much for the Bible, the eternal words of God. Now, please bless them as they go forth, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Heard that song in many, many years for some reason, and that was a blessing. I remember hearing that back when I was in Bible college in the tumultuous days of the 70s. I know I don't look that old, I know, but anyway, 70s. And man, it's good to hear that song again in these days. Amen. Through it all. I want to speak this morning on two questions to avoid. Have you ever asked somebody the wrong question? I give you the thought this morning on two questions to avoid. In these days, two questions to avoid. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that through it all, you teach us to trust in you, draw us closer to you, And so these difficulties are good for us. I pray, dear God, that we'll live according to Your Word and learn to trust You. Help me this morning. I need it. In my own abilities, I can do nothing. There's nothing there that can help anybody. But God, in Your Spirit's power and in Your Word, there's help for every person. So I count on that today. I need You. Help me, I pray in Jesus' name and amen. Now, even the very best of foods, if they're eaten over and over again for a certain time period, within a certain time period, even the very best of foods can become boring and monotonous and even distasteful. Even buttermilk. Amen. And but anyway, poor Cindy Kelson, I'll tell you what, she got her own personal message on the other night. And she said, it wasn't the buttermilk, it was the bread in the milk. She said, I can't handle soggy bread, amen, of any sort. But if you weren't here, you missed it. But anyway, I was brought up in a home where we were not allowed to waste food. That's because of Grandma, who lived down the road from us and was brought up in the hills of Tennessee, and the snow blew through the cracks in the walls of their little home, little shack of a home, and they didn't have money. They just survived. They had a garden to survive, to live out of. And so we were not allowed to waste food. Brother Howell, when Mom was here, we had some of that liver. Good stuff. He gave me a bag full of beef liver. Amen. Good stuff. Now, I know that croaks most of you, but that's good stuff if you just make enough onions to go in it and kill them. And Mom made it up because my wife can't fix it, but I learned how. I watched Mom, took some instructions, and I'll be making the rest of it, and I'm going to give some to somebody, but he gave me a whole bag of good meat. So we were taught, when we had liver, we ate it. And we had rutabagas, we ate them. And we had Brussels sprouts, we ate them. We had turnips, tops and bottoms, we ate them. Amen. I mean, that's how it was. If you dropped a piece of meat on the floor, you picked it up, brushed it off, and ate it anyway. That's where we were taught you can't waste. You don't throw food away. And I haven't done as well with my family and my girls especially. But anyway, Joyce makes a great meal around the house, and she makes a bunch of it. And, you know, she got in the habit of making for 8 people all those years when we had 6 kids at home. And, you know, when you start making for 5 and 4 of them are females, they don't eat as much. So she got to make a meal. Here's a bunch of food. Man, maybe the girls didn't particularly care for it. So there's on leftover night, I eat it. And then for lunch the next day, I eat it again. And then the next leftover night, it's back again. I look in the pan, and it's not diminishing. It's growing. Amen. It's like, and I was thinking to myself, wife, am I solely responsible for the eating of this? So, you know, after a third or fourth time, even the very best of food is like, oh, my gracious, not again. Help. And so, with that thought in mind, I really can't be too hard on the Israelites for getting a little tired of manna. God sent them manna to eat during their days of journeying in the wilderness. Now, when this story happens right here in chapter number 11, they have been eating manna for about 2 weeks, 3 times a day, 7 days. So it's manna in the morning, manna at noon, manna in the evening, every day, all day, for 2 weeks. Now, folks, I know it was angels' food. I know it was from heaven. I know it tasted sweet like the taste of honey. I know it was fresh every morning. I know it was free. That's the best part about it. It didn't cost them a dime. So I know all those positive things about it, but they ate it every day, all day for 2 weeks. I imagine they had it fried, grilled, baked, sautéed, raw, broiled, and blackened with teriyaki seasoning, with Cajun seasoning, with Italian seasoning, with Mexican seasoning, but it was still manna. Okay? So we're talking here about over and over and over and over again. So they complained. You can't really blame them. They said, we're sick of it. We're sick of this manna. Now, I think what really made God mad, the complaining didn't make him happy, but what, I think when he got mad was when they began to wish they were back in Egypt. Look at verses 4, 5, and 6 of chapter 11. We're all right here in this passage today, so you can keep your Bible there. Chapter 11, look at verses 4, 5, and 6. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? Meat. Do you men blame them? Most of you men, I would guess that most of you like meat, right? Like a good pork chop or a steak or a piece of something, you know, meat. And so they said, when are we going to get some meat? Who should give us flesh to eat? And then they said in verse number 5, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. If you're worldly, you like garlic and onion and all that stuff. Amen. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And I think them wishing they were back in Egypt got God really in it got him upset. Because look at what he said in verse number 18. Verse number 18, he said, and say thou unto the people, he tell them Moses, they said, I've heard him talk about this. And he said, you tell them, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. Ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord, for it was well with us in Egypt. For folks, it was not well with them in Egypt. How soon we forget. Okay, it wasn't well with them in Egypt. All right. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Look at what he said. Ye shall not eat 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils and be loathsome. Now, excuse me, but I'm not going where Brother Vineyard goes, but you know what he said? He said, you're going to get sick of it. So you're going to eat meat for so long, so many times, that you're going to get sick of it. You want meat, you're going to get it. You're going to get sick of it. So God's unhappy with him. He's upset. Then Moses gets involved in the situation, and he adds to, if I can say it this way without doing irreverence to the Lord, he adds to the Lord's frustration, to the Lord's, if you will, aggravation with the people. And he says in verse number 21, Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? Question mark. There's a lot of question marks there in those two verses. And I want to talk to you on two questions to avoid. Moses asked the wrong question. You ever asked anybody the wrong question? I don't think it's wrong to question God in some ways. Even Jesus said, hanging on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So you ain't question God. So you can't just blanket say, if you question God, you're in sin, because Jesus didn't sin. We know that. And he asked God a question. But here are two questions that Moses, I see two questions in these verses that Moses asked that were the wrong questions to ask God. Got God really upset with him and the people of Israel. Now here's the first one. He questioned God's ability. He questioned God's ability. Look at the verse again. The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. Thou hast said, I'll give them flesh to meat a whole month. Shall the flocks, the herds be slain for them to suffice them? You're going to gather all the fish of the sea together to suffice them? He said, Lord, there are 600,000 footmen. Now, what did he mean by that? He meant there are 600,000 people who are men who are 20 years of age and over. So there's 600,000 footmen. Now, that does not include the women and children, the children under age 20. So we're estimating here, most people estimate between 2.5 to 3.5 million people are in the wilderness with Moses. And he says to God, okay, Lord, there's 600,000 men here, age 20 and over. These are the men who are in the prime of their energy. They have complete physical health. That's not counting the younger men, Lord, the women and children. These are men that have a voracious appetite. They can eat like crazy. And what are you going to do, God, to feed them for a month? You're going to kill all the flocks and all the herds? You're going to gather all the fish in the sea? Are you kidding me, God? And you're going to feed this many men? You're going to feed just the footmen? But not for a day, not for 2 days, not for a week or 20 days. You're going to feed them for a whole month? That's the wrong question to ask God. It was a question. It was questioning God's ability. God, are you able? Now, friend, that's the wrong question to ask. Now, you might do like Jesus did sometime, get in a situation where you look to heaven and you say, Lord, why? I don't understand this. Why is this like this? But friend, it's a wrong question to ask if we are questioning God's ability. And I love God's response. He says to Moses in verse 23, is the Lord's hand waxed short? He said, Moses, do you really believe that I will come up short? Do you really think I'll come just a little bit short of being able to feed those people for a month? Now look, folks, you and I, we live our lives short. You understand what I'm saying? You say, I don't understand. I'm 6'3". No, I'm not talking about that. We live our lives short. We are limited in our potential by the limitations of humanity. We are limited by the boundaries of mortality. We can give it our all, and our all still isn't enough. We can do the very best we can with everything, but our can is not big enough. I like what Bobby Robertson says. Bobby Robertson has said, he said, people will say, I'm doing the best I can to try to go to heaven. He'll respond, friend, your can's not big enough. And that's how we live our lives. We live our lives coming up short. We give it our all. Our all is still not enough sometimes. We come up short. But I'm going to remind you this morning, friend, that God is not limited by humanity, and God is not bound by mortality, and He never comes up short. Now, I know things are tough out there. I know there's a difficult economy. Friend, but I want to tell you something. Don't question God's ability. Don't question His ability. Okay, we know God is able, all right? He's not limited by humanity. He's not bound by mortality. God never comes up short. When it comes to this specific thing right here, feeding these people meat for a whole month, ladies, isn't that your greatest concern when you are entertaining a crowd? That you have what? Enough. And pastor, as a pastor, every time we have a potluck dinner, or like we did the other night, the international dinner. Now, so far over the years here, it's always proven to be enough. But you always ask, will there be enough? My mother's not a shy woman. She's very outgoing and I'm gregarious personality. I mean, just mom doesn't meet a stranger, but she doesn't get embarrassed by too much. But there's a couple of things that she can never live down. She'll never, one of them involves ice cream in a situation I won't talk about. But another one is in a situation when we were on the senior trip one time down in Atlanta. And I think it was Brett Hendrickson's class and Crystal. I forget who all was on that trip. I think Liz was there and some of the others. But we were down in Atlanta, and we ended up at the folks' house for a meal. And we had climbed Stone Mountain that day. And climbed it up, walked up the mountain. Most of us walked back down the mountain. We had a big time. And we got to the house, and I mean to tell you, there was probably, I don't know, 8, 9 teenagers, juniors and seniors, and a couple, 3 adults. We got down there, and Mom had, I think she had taco salad, and she did not have enough. And I could see it coming. I'm watching these kids go through, and, you know, they have no thought that somebody's coming behind them. And they're just, were you there, Brett? Were you in that class? Okay. And they're just, I mean, they're piling this stuff on there. Was it taco salad? It was taco salad. He never has forgot it either. Say amen. But, so, that'll be a blessing to Mom, all right? So, but they're piling this stuff on their plate. And Brother Don and I are watching, you know, we're watching this thing come along, and it's obvious to me. And I watch my mother's face just, I mean, grow longer and longer and longer and just more ashen face. And she turns to me and she says, man, so I got leftovers. she got in the refrigerator. It was fine with me, man. She had barbecue ribs left over, had turnip greens left over. Now, Brother Don, he didn't care for all that turnip green stuff, but I enjoyed it. And it was good, but she'll never live that moment down. I don't care. She doesn't get embarrassed by much, but she'll never live the day down that she came up short. And any lady wouldn't want to do that either, would you? And you don't want to come up short. And I want to tell you something, friend. God never comes up short. He never comes up short. He said to Moses, do you really think my hand is waxed short? Let me say, friend, that God's ability should never be in question. It shouldn't have been in question then. Even though there were 2.5 to 3.5 million people to feed, they were hungry. God was able to feed all of those folks, and He did. And He didn't just feed them for 1 month. He fed them for 40 years. He took care of them for 40 years, gave them as much as they wanted to eat. And God is able to make a way for His people. I know some of you are up against it with work. Some of you have been out of work. You're looking for, by the way, a few folks are starting to get jobs, and some of the folks that needed to get more work where they work, it's picked up a little bit, and I praise God for that. And we will continue to meet on Wednesday mornings at 7:30 to pray for you by name, specifically, six of us, and ask God to give you the work that you need. And I'm not saying God is going to give you a job this week. I'll just say this: He's able. So amidst all the uncertainty, And the why is it, Lord, I need it now. Why is it? Why are you waiting till next month or next? Amongst all the answers, you might ask a few questions, but never get to the point where you question His ability. He is able to help you find a way to get work. He's able to help you find a job. He is able to supply the need of His people. Some of you folks prayed this week and you asked the Lord to help you make a faith promise commitment. Lord, what would you have me to do? And He's laid a figure on your heart. Maybe you put it down on a piece of paper this morning with a little fear and trembling about, Lord, I hope that you'll... Friend, let me tell you something. God is able to supply the needs of His people. He's able. We sing that song sometimes on Wednesday night, that chorus, He's able, He's able. It's not just a little chorus, friend. It's true. He is able. He's able to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to make the lame walk again, cause the blind to see. He's able to take care of my needs. He's able to take care of your needs. There may be a lot of uncertainties in the United States of America right now. There may be a lot of uncertainties in the world, but one thing's for sure, He is able. So don't question that. That's the wrong question. Just don't go to God and say, are you able? That's what Moses said. Lord, 600,000 of us. Footmen. I'm talking about men who can eat a horse. And you're going to feed us for a month? What are you going to do? Get all the fish in there. Eat right. And boy, I'm telling you something. You get over in the book of Psalms, and we'll go there this morning. We don't need to. But you get over in the book of Psalms, it made God upset. You know what He called this? He called this speaking against God. He said, they spake against me. It was almost like they condemned my ability, my character. So in all the questions you may be asking right now about the uncertainties of life as it pertains to you and me in the United States of America, don't question God's ability. I know what it may look like. I know what it may seem to be on this plane horizontally. I know what conventional wisdom may say, but I'm going to tell you something. Above and beyond and over and in spite of all of that, I know God is able. Don't question His ability. Don't question His ability. God never takes too kindly to that sort of thing. That first question was a matter of God's ability. Number two, not only did Moses question God's ability, Moses questioned God's Word. Look at God. Look at verse number 21. The people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said. Now, what is that, friend? No, no, he's asking. Do you really mean that? Are you sure you meant that? You said, God. Are you really sure, God, you meant what you said? Look, friend, it didn't matter if there were only 10 cows, 4 sheep, and a couple of rabbits. If God said He would feed 2.5 to 3.5 million people meat for 1 month, then God would do it. End of story. There doesn't need to be any discussion about did God really mean it? Did God know what He was saying? Was God aware of what He was saying when He said that? There needs to be no question about what God said. God's Word is always true. If that's what He said, that's what He meant, and that is what He will do. Hey, God doesn't waste words. He does not embellish words. He does not... Now, I'm going to say you, maybe not you. If you talk as much, I'm in the business of talking. I talk a lot. I talk up here in front of you three times a week. I talk in my Sunday school class. I talk up at Providence for sometimes 4 hours on Thursday. I talk to the school chapel. I talk in staff meetings. I talk. Do you understand? The more that you talk, the greater the temptation to embellish and exaggerate becomes. Huh? You understand that? Now, by the way, folks, if you want to be cantankerous and just cynical, you could take any preacher in America and you could go back through the years of his sermons and pull little things out here and there and build something that this pastor believes this, because we talk so much. And the temptation to exaggerate or embellish. And I prayed, oh God, help me not to do that, please. I learned a long, long time ago about the need to be truthful in what you say. When I went to work for Brother Brown back in 1980. Brother Brown's son and his daughter buried their two little twin premature babies on Thursday, and it was interesting. They just little bitty old boxes, premature babies, 20 weeks old. And the caretaker at the Joyce, I was going to tell you, the caretaker at the cemetery told Joseph, said, "Now look, your mom and dad's little baby is buried in a plot, and if you would want to use the same plot, it wouldn't cost you anything." So they went down there to the cemetery on Thursday, and they opened up that grave where 34 years ago, Brother and Mrs. Brown laid to rest their two-day-old boy. And they put those two little boxes in that same grave, and all three of those babies are buried together down there now. That was sweet to me. That's not nice, but it was sweet they could all be buried together. And they're doing good. They sang Charity, and Joseph sang a song about trials and God's blessings on Wednesday night. Place came apart, you know, emotionally, but they're doing good. There's a difference in how Christians handle things. Now, when I went to work for Brother Brown, Guy Kahn went to work for Brother Glenn Jaspers at Elaine McDonald's home church in Marshalltown, Iowa, Fellowship Baptist Church. Guy Kahn was a Maranatha Baptist College graduate. He and I became friends. I was youth director. He was youth director. Our youth groups got together for some activities over the years. And then Guy moved away to pastor a church in Waukesha, Wisconsin. He'd been there about 2 years. He called me and he said, "Would Brother Brown let you come up and do a Valentine banquet on a Saturday night? You and your wife, you and Joyce, come up, and then you stay over and preach on Sunday for me. Would Brother Brown let you do that?" I said, "I'll ask." So I asked Brother Brown, and he said, "That'd be fine." So we went up on Saturday and we're at the Valentine banquet. On Sunday morning, I preached a message, and I used the illustration of a young lady by the name of Becky Vaughn. Becky Vaughn's mother, Brenda Vaughn. Long story short, Becky, when she was 2 years old, was involved in a horrible fire down in Greenville, South Carolina. And they had been with us the previous fall at our ladies' conference in Marion Avenue. And I used the story of Becky Vaughn. And it's quite a story. It's an unbelievable story, how that little girl was burned. And I told it as it happened, as she related it to us back in the fall the previous year. We went to had the service. We went to lunch. And we ordered our food, and Guy Kahn was at the other end of the table, and he looked at me, and he said, "Brother Terry, it's a good message." I said, "Thank you." He said, "By the way, I'm sure glad that you didn't embellish the story about Becky Vaughn." He said, "They were at our church last Sunday." Now, if I'd got up in that pulpit and just blah, 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 and painted some great big old story, you know what all those folks sitting out there listening would have done? They all would have said, "Well, that's not what we heard last week from the very person it happened to." But the story matched up detail for detail. I'm going to tell you something, boy. I said in my heart, "Dear Lord, help me." We're prone to embellish and exaggerate and blow it up and make it bigger than it sounds. Boy, do I mean impress somebody. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. God has no need to exaggerate. And God has no need to embellish. And God has no need to blow up bigger than it seems to be to make it true. Because what God says is what God means, and it is true.
And Moses said, Lord, are you sure you're going to do what you said? Can your word be trusted? And boy, the Lord, it just aggravated. The Lord, don't question my words. God doesn't waste words. He doesn't embellish words. He doesn't exaggerate. He does not overspeak. He does not speak idly. He speaks the truth. When God speaks, take it to the bank. The bank of faith. Deposit it. Believe it. Don't wait for somebody else to interpret it or translate it. Take it to the bank, friend, because when God speaks, it's true. Never doubt the Word of God. Never. Sometimes we get ourselves in situations where God cannot honor. He can't do what He said He would do in His Word because of our sin and our goofiness. But never question whether it's true. His Word is true. Let me ask this morning, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is what God said true? He told you you'd have a baby. Not you and Hagar. You and Sarah. And He knew you were 99 years of age, and He knew Sarah was 89 years of age, and He knew the time of reproduction was past for both of you. Was the Lord's hand waxed short, Abraham and Sarah? Did you indeed have a son? Yes, we did. His hand is not waxed short, and His word is true because we gave birth to our child, Isaac. At the very time of the year, God promised. I wouldn't question God's ability. I wouldn't question God's word. Let me ask the widow of Zarephath this morning, lady. Let me ask you a question. Let me put you on trial. Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is His word true? And she would raise her right hand and say, I promise you, sir, that the Lord does His hand does not wax short. He is able and His word is true because He said through the prophet Elijah that if I would make the cake for Him first, He would put oil in the cruse. He would put flour meal in the barrel. And my son and I would eat for many days. And it happened just like God said. God is able and God is true. Let me ask you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this morning. Can we put you on the witness stand? Will you testify? Is God able? Is His word true? He said He would go through the fire with you. He would be with you in the fire. And you hear Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answer this morning, friend, as a group in unison. Yes, God is able. And yes, God's words are true. They bound us and they dropped us in the fire that was heated 7 times hotter. And in the midst of that fire, we sensed another presence in there. And we were not burned. Our ropes were burned, but our clothes didn't even have the hint of the smell of smoke when we walked out of there. God's able, and God's word is true. Now, how much more do you want me to say this morning? Belshazzar, is God's word true, Belshazzar? Is God able to finish you in one day? While you're there at that drunken orgy with concubines and women and wives and 1,000 of your lords, your rulers from the land of Babylon, and you're drinking alcohol out of the dedicated, consecrated vessels from the temple of God, and blaspheming Him and worshiping the false gods of Babylon, is He able to knock you off in one night? Oh, yeah. And one of the most amazing stories in all of history, friend, you can't beat the Bible when it comes to stories. And there it is, the city of Babylon there. Some people said 15 square miles in area, and the Euphrates River flowing through the city of Babylon. And Cyrus, the Persian soldier and leader of soldiers, took and put some men at the and a wall. So a wall, they said, 650 feet thick at the bottom, 300 foot thick at the top, and 350 feet tall, and you could drive 6 chariots around the top of that thing, and a big moat surrounding the city that was filled with water from the Euphrates, and you couldn't get to it. Impenetrable. And Cyrus took some men and put them at where the Euphrates River entered the city of Babylon. And he took some men, put them where the city, camped them out where the Euphrates River exited the city of Babylon. And he took some men and he diverted the flow of the river Euphrates in a pinch point into the swamp. And they watched that water recede in the very night of that drunken orgy party. Those soldiers came into that city. Some historians believe, Herodotus believes, that Babylon was overthrown without one act of violence completely surprised Belshazzar and his army. Without one act of, without one fight. I'm going to tell you something, friend. There might be some reason to look to heaven and say, why this or why that? But there are two questions you and I should avoid when it comes to our God. Never question His ability. Never question His Word. Never. Just a refrain from that. Let me ask you something, Christian. Is the Lord's hand waxed short when it comes to that place called heaven? I don't think so. I don't think His hand waxes short. I think what He says about heaven and His Word is true. Glory to God. Paul was dragged outside the city of Lystra by a bunch of rabid fellows and stoned, and they even left him for dead. They said, he's dead. His old breathing was shallow, and he had one of those out-of-body experiences where his soul and spirit left his body, and he was caught up to the third heaven, and he saw things unlawful for him to utter. He came back to life. He came back. He didn't die completely. And his spirit and soul united with his body. And he rose up and went back and carried on his ministry. And he talked about it years later. He said, 14 years ago, I was caught up into the third heaven. I saw things I can't even talk. It wouldn't be legal for me to talk about the things I saw up at that place. Huh? Usually, friend, it's, if we can't talk about something, it's because it's so bad. Oh, I don't want to talk about it. It's bad. That's what Jeff Porter told me at Steak and Shake when he was here. He said, I don't want to talk about this in front of the kids. It's too bad. The economy. I don't want to talk about it in front of my kids. But this was so good. Paul couldn't talk about it. It was so wonderful. It was so magnificent. Paul couldn't even talk about it. God's able. I'll tell you, Christian, God's able. God's Word is true. Let me ask you this morning, person sitting in the pew today, member, visitor, boy or girl, teenager, adult man or adult woman, I'm talking to all of us. If you're here this morning without Christ as your Savior, I didn't say religion, I didn't ask you what member of a, what church you were belong to or a member of, Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Nazarene, Methodist, non-denominational, I'm not interested in that whatsoever. Here's my question. Is the Lord's hand waxed short when it comes to salvation? Huh? Can He do what He said He would do? Can God save to the uttermost? Yes, He can. Go through the Scriptures and read story after story after story after story of men and women who came to Jesus from all walks of life, all kinds of backgrounds. I'm talking about men so steeped in sin that they would rip their clothes off and demon-possessed and cut themselves with stones and out of their minds full of devils. I'm talking about women like Mary Magdalene, possessed by seven devils. I'm talking about everything from Peter and John. All those folks you read about, men and women from all walks of life, came to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith and trusted Him as their personal Savior. And believe me, friend, God is able to save anyone, everyone, all who come to Jesus in that fashion. Oh, you may believe you're beyond hope. I'm going to tell you, you're not beyond hope. No. Jesus said to him that cometh unto me, I'll no wise cast out. You say, well, I don't know if I'm good enough. Don't worry about that. Well, I don't know if I know enough. Don't worry about that. Is there a drawing? Is there a tugging? Is there a pulling? Is there a yearning in your heart to come to Christ to settle your account with God? You say, I can't settle it. It's too big. It's too deep. It's too long. It's too ugly. Oh, I love the old song Roloff used to sing. Dark the sin that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, near to deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Yes, sir. I'm going to tell you, some of us had some pretty deep stains. You're looking at one old boy that had some deep stains. And sitting across this auditorium this morning, a lot of folks that had some deep stains. we came to Jesus Christ, and the blood that Jesus shed on the cross is deeper, fuller, richer, purer. It goes deeper, farther than the darkest sin stained upon our nature. Washes us, makes us white as snow. Is He able? You believe it, friend. He's able. Will He save those that come to Him? Do He save to the uttermost those that come to Him? Yes, He will. It's got your name on that promise, sir. It's got your name on that promise. If you're not dead dog sure, if you're not 100% sure, that if you were to drop dead today, you'd wake up in heaven. I beg you this morning, don't look, you may have questions about this and questions about that and questions about the Bible, but don't question two things. Don't question His ability and don't question His Word. He said He would save you. He can do it. He meant what He said. In fact, He wants to save you more than anything else in all the world. Two questions to avoid, friend. Two questions to avoid. Is He able? And does He mean what He says? And I submit to all of us this morning, our God is able, and He means everything He says in this book from cover to cover. Everything. Don't ask Him those two questions. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening this morning. I appreciate your attention. Now, please, I just ask you, we're not going to be here much longer, but I'd ask you, please, don't tune me out. I beg you, please, with your head bowed and eyes closed, I beg you just to give me a hearing for a few more minutes. Would you? Would you please do that? I wonder how many seated across the auditorium this morning could say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. I'm saved and I know it. And I found out that the blood of Christ goes deeper than the stain of my sin. My sins have been washed in the crimson flow. I'm saved on my way to heaven and I'm glad of it. Thank God for it. Now, all I ask you to do before I ask you, just be honest. Oh, please be honest. Don't be dishonest before God. You can say, I know it for 100% sure. I'm saved on the way to heaven. I'm glad of it. Thankful for it. Would you raise your hand this morning? But please be honest. That's all I ask. Just be honest. Please don't do it because somebody else does. Thank you. Take your hands down. And I wonder, this morning, sitting across the different parts of the auditorium, maybe there's somebody, maybe a lady, maybe a man, maybe a young person, maybe a member, maybe a visitor. Doesn't matter. We're talking to everybody. You could not raise your hand. You do not know for sure if you died that you'd go to heaven. But God is able to save you, and God wants to save you, and His Word is true. And He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you shalt believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus said, I am come. I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He said, if there's one lost sheep, if there's 99 safe in the fold and one lost sheep out on the mountains, I'm going to leave the 99 and go after the lost one because He loves lost sheep. He wants them to be in the fold. If you're here this morning, you're not sure that you're saved. You could not raise a hand just then. You say, Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand then, but I will now to ask you to pray for me because I don't know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand this morning, please, just wherever you're seated? Would you do that? Put it up, put it right back down. I'll see it and pray for you in just a moment. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, shape, or fashion. Would you do that? Let me pray for you this morning. Not sure that I'm saved. Now, either you are or you're not. If you raised your hand that you know you're saved, that's great. But if you didn't raise your hand either time, friend, are you concerned about it? Are you concerned about eternal life? Going to heaven, living with God forever and ever and ever. Pastor, I am concerned about it. Pray for me. Anybody like that in the room this morning? Front to back, side to side. Pray for me. Anybody? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you came this morning to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe you've been saved. You haven't obeyed yet that first step of obedience. Taking that first step of obedience to follow the Lord in baptism. You came to do that this morning. You're prepared to follow the Lord. And you came for that purpose this morning. Would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? God bless you. Come on forward at this time if you would, please. And if you have never been baptized, then you didn't come to be baptized this morning, but you've never been, you'd like to know more about it. When we give the invitation in just a moment, you step out and come. When the music begins in just a moment or two, we'd like to show you about being baptized, taking that first step of a believer's baptism. Wonderful. Now, listen carefully. If you've been saved and baptized, visiting here, and you've talked to myself or one of the men on staff about membership, and you want to join, that'd be great. Now's the time to do that when the music begins. How about a Christian? Saved, baptized, on your way to heaven. And you say, Pastor, I got a few questions for God. I don't mean in an ugly spirit. Just some things going on I don't quite understand, but I never want to question His ability. And I never want to question whether His Word is true. And the Spirit of God spoke to my heart this morning about that. I want to avoid those two questions. I want to be a part of that. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand this morning wherever you may sit? God bless you. You. I see those wherever you sit. God bless you. I see the hand this morning. Amen. Two questions to avoid when it comes to God. Are you able? And is your word true? Are you able? Is your word true? Unequivocally, yes. He's able. And his word is true. Don't forget it, Christian friend. As bad as it may be right now, as difficult as the times may seem, he is able and his word is true. Take it to the bank. I'm talking about the bank of faith. Deposit it there. My dear Father, I'm so thankful for your character, your person, who you are. So thankful, dear God, that on this beautiful Sunday morning, and Lord, it was beautiful today, that sun came up. What you've given us to enjoy is so beautiful. Thank you for the sunlight, the sun rays, the rays of heat, warmth. Thank you, dear God, for the snow that was out there and glistening. It was a beautiful morning, oh God. What a good morning to know you. What a good morning to come to your place and hear your word. And God, I pray, despite of what may happen here on this planet, and particularly in this country, and especially even in this area, in the days ahead, may we, God, never question your ability or whether your word is true. Help us to stand upon it, Lord, and to find it true as these men and women did from history in years gone by. God, you've never changed. I thank you, God, you're able this morning to save those who are lost. God, you're able to help and encourage and take care of and supply the needs of your people. God, you built us a beautiful place called heaven. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you for that. And, oh, God, just I pray that you help us, please, never to doubt your ability and your word. And we'll thank you for it. Help us this morning in Jesus' name.